Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Weekends were made for sports.
Now do the robot voice. I want to hear it again.
Meet more sharp robot.
That's a terrible robot voice.
A look at the weekend in sports with the inside story on the Blazers, the Ducks, and the Beavers.
Everyone, meet freelance alien bounty hunter, Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp? The football guy?
Yeah, I hunt aliens now. Used to catch TDs, now I catch ETs.
You ever caught an alien, Shannon?
Not yet, Mr. Question, but I'll let you know when I do.
This is Sports Sunday with Mike Lynch.
Where are the turtles?
Come on, guys, get out of here.
Where are the turtles?
And Rashad Taylor.
Nobody calls me Lebowski. You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
On 1080 The Fan.
Hour two of two here on Sunday morning. Mike, Rashad, Joe with you on Sports Sunday. First hour will be up on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at the end of the show. If you missed any of our NBA Finals, Giannis, Dame, Blazers chatter, you can hear it there. Text line is 503-250-1080. I want to do a little bit of a baseball smorgasbord, as there's lots of little baseball nuggets that are of note. And I'll start with one of our P1 texters who texted last hour. Sorry for waiting so long to get to it. But he said, I'm a lifelong Mariners fan, and I want to know if I should give up hope now before I inevitably get my heart broken this season. So the Mariners, if you have not been watching, are actually, surprisingly, in the playoff hunt.
Third in the AL West.
Right now. They are third in the AL West. They are seven games over 500. And I believe, if my computer would work, they're only two and a half back of the second wild card spot in the American League. They're in a very, very important stretch of the season right at this moment because the trade deadline is in 5 days. And the Mariners are playing seven games against the A's and the Astros, who are the two teams who are above them in the division. So far, they have taken two of three from Oakland. They've got one more game today starting here in about 3 hours. And then they've got three games at home against Houston right before the trade deadline. Now, if they win both series, if they go 4-3, they might be buyers at the deadline because they're in the playoff hunt. And here's the thing. The Mariners, it's such a strange question. A lot of Mariner fans have asked me this, actually, over the course of the last few weeks. Like, should I hope? Like, all I see is a bunch of kids, you know, playing clutch baseball. All these positive things. But the stats kind of show the opposite. They have a minus 53 run differential, which means they're getting very lucky. But also, they win a ton of extra inning and one-run games, which means they're also kind of clutch. It's like that weird line of like, is it all luck or is it actually like they're actually just good in clutch situations? To be honest, if I was a Mariners fan, enjoy the ride right now, man. Like, I don't think you should get your heart broken if they don't make the playoffs this year. They were not supposed to make the playoffs this year, and they're playing way better than expected. Some of the young guys have come up and played really well, like Logan Gilbert, your top starter. Jared Kelenic has not been great. He's been called back up, and he's, you know, doing a little better than he was beforehand. But you're seeing signs. So come at it from the perspective of this is still the Mariners. They're probably not going to make the playoffs, but they're in late July at the deadline. If they win another game here, they might be buyers. Enjoy the ride. Go push for this team to make a playoff spot. And if they don't, it was a good season nonetheless, which is better than you could say for any of the last few seasons. So it's like Mariner fans are like, I don't want to get excited. Get excited. It's fun.
I think you should always be excited when your team is on having a good season, you know, especially considering, we don't know what playoffs is going to mean or what it's going to bring. And, you know, you can have a great season that's, you know, ruined in the first round of any, you know, playoff series or, you know, whatever the case is.
Well, remember, the Mariners had the longest playoff drought in the MLB.
Absolutely. And so this is one of those years to where if there's any time for you to get excited, it's probably now. You know, now that you have the potential to make the wild card, now that you have the potential to really be good.
Now that you've taken two of three from Oakland.
I mean, so now
in a very important series so far.
If there is any time to be a fan, and this isn't just for baseball, but if your team is streaking at a point, or if your team is playing really, really good baseball, football, basketball, whatever, yeah, now's the time to get excited about that, because especially now you're what, here a little over 100 games at this point?
Yep.
Man, you got some time to go. This is the really that, and there's 162 the games this year, right?
Correct.
So there's a full season, you know, ahead of you. There's still well over, you know, well over 50 some odd games left. Like, yeah, your team could really do something.
The Mariners right
important.
Now are at 99 games, so they have 63 games to go. Is that right, math?
Sure.
Yes. That's math.
I was an English guy, so I don't know.
Sure. They're 53 and 46.
Language
yeah,
arts was my thing.
That's 99. I know how to do math. Yeah. So that is, there are still 63 games to go. So that is a very, very, very good chance of having a lot of fun. And when they get to the expanded rosters for the end of the year, you're going to see more of the young guys come up and get a chance to go.
So if you do get a chance to go up to Seattle, and or if you already, that was already a part of your plan, like I plan to get up there a couple times here in August just to go check out some games. But yeah, man, get excited. Absolutely.
Enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Don't be nervous about the crash. Like, I guess the way I would put it is, don't allow yourself to be heartbroken, because you shouldn't have been like ready to be heartbroken. This team isn't there yet.
No.
But it's playing much better than expected, which might mean that it's only a year or so away from actually becoming a contender if a lot of these players continue to hit. And that's really, really exciting for a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 20 years at this point. All right, let's take a break. Let's get back on the clock. But there's a couple other baseball things I want to get to. The A's situation in Oakland, interesting. And the Cleveland Indians, no more. That's next. This is Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
1018 here on your Sunday morning. A little baseball chatter. There's been a lot of things to get to. I'll begin with the news that happened most recently. It came out on Thursday or Friday this week that the Cleveland Indians will be no more after this season. They have decided to change their name.
What are they changing it to?
To the Cleveland Guardians.
Mm.
I guess there's the Guardian Bridge in Cleveland, which has two like giant statues at the edge of it.
Is it overlooking their stadium?
I don't know.
Is it near the stadium, I think?
I know very little about Cleveland.
It's near the stadium.
It is?
Yeah. It's like adjacent to Progressive Field.
So that's the reason for the name. The main logo, frankly, is terrible, in my opinion. It's a baseball that's like kind of 3D looking, and it's got two G's on the side of it. And it's like, it looks like a car, sort
of. Like the Angels?
It's weird. It's not really what I want in a logo, but I don't mind the name. I really wanted them to go back to be the Spiders, which was their original name before they became the Indians. That's a very underused mascot that I think is pretty cool. Like Richmond Spiders in college. Like, it's a pretty cool mascot. You can have some cool logos and stuff with that. I'm frankly pretty surprised they didn't do that. There was a huge push from people to be the Spiders, but I think Guardians is fine. It's about time, right?
I like the name Guardians better than Spiders.
Okay, that's cool.
I don't know. I don't know why.
I think for me, it was more just like the classic, like this is what the team used to be thought that I enjoyed about it. But yeah, I mean, it's a cool name. And the font is basically the same. And both words have D-I-A-N-S at the end of it, yeah. Indians and Guardians. So it's almost the same font.
This one, you know, the Guardians kind of has a minor league feel.
A little bit, right?
But the Spiders has like a beer league feel to it, you know, so it's totally different.
All right, sure.
What's our name? We're the Spiders. Okay, cool.
What are you playing, Legends of the Hidden Temple?
This is our sign. Everybody makes a spider sign with their hands. Like, cool, man.
Well, I thought the Guardians was kind of a, I don't know, when I first heard it, just, what?
Yeah.
Guardians. I was like, that doesn't
sound
very cool.
Very double
Until
A.
Until you learn about the, you know, connection with the bridge and the statues and everything. I'm like, okay. And
it just feels like
Guardians, you know, it's not too far, you know, as far as phonetically speaking, off from the original name. And I was like, okay, all right, I'm down. But yes, I'm not crazy about the logos. Very Minecraft-ish.
It kind of is, right? Yeah. It kind of is. I think that's the thing. It's like, okay, you have a professional sports franchise, and I'm assuming you spent a ton of money on like a marketing firm and a design firm to come up with your logo and your name. And then you release the name, and isn't it almost always disappointing? Aren't you almost always, as a fan, like, you spent all that money on that?
Yeah, but I mean, at least they took a crack at it. Looking at you, Washington football team.
Well, I mean, they're gonna pick a team.
They're gonna change. They're gonna pick the name. But you win a whole season, two seasons now, because it's not gonna be till the end of this year, right?
I don't know.
Your name is the Washington football team. Cool, man. Like, so at least they took a crack at elite trying to rebrand and rename their team before it got too far down the line.
Well, I mean, wasn't it for Washington, like, they changed it really close to the season, so they were like, look, whatever, we're just going to be WFT right now.
Yeah, they're going to be District 5, essentially.
All right, and then the final note before we get to Hate It or Love It next segment, and this is probably the biggest note, is that the city of Oakland has voted 6-1 in favor of a non-binding term sheet for the A's proposed waterfront ballpark, Howard Terminal. This was earlier this Tuesday, which on paper, in theory, sounds great, right? The city and the team have been going at it for a long time. You know, they want to build a new stadium. The Coliseum is terrible. You know, it's a sewage factory. And it's just not a good stadium to play in. Oakland has already lost their other two professional sports franchises as the Warriors have moved across the water to San Francisco and the Raiders went to Vegas. So they've got one team left, and Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, comes out and is like, hey, if you guys don't get working on a deal, then we're going to move the A's to Vegas, is basically what he said. And he said Vegas or maybe some other cities, but he's using Vegas intentionally because who did they lose their football team to? Vegas. It's a scare tactic. So this looks all good on paper. And then the A's come out and they say after this vote happens, A yes vote by their terms is basically a no vote, and we don't know what we're going to do moving forward. And it's like, oh my God. So the city refused the initial, I guess the term sheet is the correct term, refused the term sheet of the A's, made their own, and then approved it. And then the A's are like, well, no, this is not what we agreed to. This is not what we put out there. So the fight's still going to go on. I'm kind of torn on how to feel about this, because I would hate for the fans of Oakland to lose every one of their sports franchises in a 3-year window. I mean, because that's what's happening. You lost the Raiders last year. The Warriors moved last year, and the A's are going to move in a year or two if they don't get a stadium situation figured out. I would feel terrible for the fans. But I will say there is something that is quite appealing to me about the Las Vegas A's. Vegas has become a destination sports city, in my opinion. Seeing the fans at the Vegas Golden Knights games in the Stanley Cup playoffs this year, insane. We did not see fans at the Raiders games, but I think that's going to be quite a good atmosphere as well when fans are back this season. It just feels like that city like has really stepped up and is like, hey, we're going to be a sports city now. So I'm kind of torn on what I want. Like, I'm not an Oakland fan, so I don't really care. But it just, I feel bad for the fans for losing their teams.
Man, if you're an Oakland fan, you can still be a Warriors fan. Like, nothing's changed about that. You just go take that little 15-minute, you know, trip across the bridge, and, you know, there you are. You're ready to go. Go Warriors, go. As far as the football team, like, they didn't want to build a stadium, so, you know, they moved. And, you know, here they are again. The only, I guess as far as this article, the only, like, piece of hope that I took from it is that when they mentioned the other relocation cities, Portland was the first one they mentioned.
Not this time.
I mean, no, as I read that ESPN article, mm-hmm. you know, about it, the only thing about it when they mentioned, you know, they're open to other relocation options, and one of which, the first one they mentioned, was Portland. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm trying to remember the Diamond Project? Like, what happened to that?
And I mean,
It still exists, but I mean, remember the kind of the energy and the hype that we had behind that, the Portland Diamond Project, as far as making sure we could bring a professional team here. And it feels like the hype kind of died down, COVID, around that. Now, COVID happened and everything.
COVID was what killed the hype initially.
Of course.
And right now, our city is not in a presentable state.
It's not. And my thing is, if city officials, fix it. Like, I mean, I totally understand. Like, there were riots and things downtown, but that was what, 6 months ago, 7-8 months ago, before the election and everything like mm-hmm. that. Man, take the boards off the building.
It was almost
like
a year ago at this
yeah,
point.
Like, take the boards off the building. Get our city looking like,
well,
it's because it doesn't
look
good.
They did start doing that this weekend. This weekend is like the reopening Portland weekend where they have all those events. But in terms of like cleaning up the homeless situation, yeah, I agree with you on that. Like, wake up, let's go. Like, you drive up 5 North going towards Vancouver, both sides of the highway covered in tents. I picked up my girlfriend from the airport on yesterday morning. And because of traffic, it had me take the bypass on Lombard.
Right.
And I got onto 5 on Lombard, and the merge ramp onto 5, it was like a city. There was at least 15 to 20 tents just in the circle there in the middle and then on the edge. I had not, like, I go to North Portland every once in a while to have some beer and go to some bottle shops, but I had not taken that specific off ramp. I was like, oh my God. And then not to mention Delta Park, which is like burned out RV Central and like tents and tarps and everything. And then there's that street over off Marine Drive. It's like, there's like a farm over there or like some like farmland, but there's a street that goes to a jail. And that street
33rd.
Is a 33rd. Yeah. 33rd is apparently a disaster zone too. And it's like, okay, so if the Portland Diamond Project still wants to do Terminal 2 as their site, how many of those places are Major League Baseball officials going to see just going to Terminal 2? I haven't even been over to like old school slab town over by the terminals. I bet you it's not great over there either. So, I mean, you got to fix the image, right?
No, they have to fix a lot of things. And so right now, the city, Portland has always been lauded as this beautiful city. You come here and you see the green and you see it doesn't look like that right now. So that part needs to be fixed. But outside of, you know, how crappy our city looks right now, I don't think, you know, Vegas is, like you said, man, it's a sexy place for sports right now. And like, if you've never been to a fight night or if you've never seen UFC or anything like that in Vegas. Like, this is a city that's clamoring for professional teams. And the first time they get a professional team, what do you know? Like, COVID strikes and they don't get to fill any.
Second time.
They have the Knights, but.
Made the Stanley Cup in the first year.
The Knights, yeah, that definitely helped a lot, you know. But as far as like the big three, you know, of sports, you know, hockey's a great sport.
I was going to say, don't you disparage NHL?
No, hockey is one of the most fun events that you can possibly,
because they're having,
you know,
crazy crowds there.
Absolutely. However, it's not football, basketball, and baseball. You know, like, so as far as the coverage that it receives, and so to be able to fill an NFL stadium in Vegas and then be able to fill an NBA stadium or an NBA arena, which eventually will happen. But I think baseball is the next logical thing for Vegas to do. Like, it's a spectator sport, and there's not a better spectator city than Vegas.
All right, we got a break coming up next, and it's time for Hate It or Love It. First, Joe the Hater has Sports Center.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
All right, that music means it's time for Hate It or Love It. I assume this has not been very competitive the last few weeks.
It's been non-existent the past couple weeks.
Ah, yeah. So it's been 4 weeks off for Joe, too, for doing Hate It or Love It. That's good. Man. All right, Joe. Well, the basis of this is Joe will award us points or deduct us points based on our answers. And the winner hosts the last segment. So, Joe, what do you got for us today?
I'm watching like this horse.
Us too.
Dressage.
Is that dressage?
Is that dressage? Is that what this is?
Yes.
The horse is just like prancing about.
Dion, prime time. Look.
Literally prancing now.
Is there? How are you awarded points for this?
Control of the horse.
The horse is from Denmark, apparently.
Symmetry
or
of
the
steps.
From Denmark. Do you think the horse also has to be from the country that the person is from? Is this horse and person from Denmark?
I'm going to go no.
Probably.
Well, it's probably their horse, right?
Yeah.
They can't just get on a random horse.
Yeah.
Well, the horse came from another country.
I was going to say the horse made the trip to the Olympics? To the Tokyo?
Did the horse mess up a little bit there? I thought I saw its legs go a little weird.
Look at this little trot.
How is this a sport?
I'm so confused.
What is happening?
I gotta Google how long they've been doing dressage for in the Olympics. That's interesting. Handball. also on USA right now.
So
oh, I'm going to go back. Do you want to go to handball or would you like to watch the horse prance?
Turn to handball, man.
Handball, pretty cool.
Now that badminton is over, let's turn to handball.
Yeah, I'd be down to play some handball sometime.
I've played it before in like PE as a kid. It was fun.
Yeah, seems legit.
Hell's Kitchen right now. We're just playing handball against the wall.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, moving on to our first question. Let me get it pulled up. I don't even know which one the first one. Oh, yeah. Team USA, they lost this morning to France. First loss in God knows how long.
Well, minus their exhibition games.
2004. Yeah, I saw something that like Coach K was 88-1 as the Team USA coach, and Pop has already lost 3 games.
2-3. Yeah, woo! Not very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Not
very
a great
good.
Start. So let's just get right to the business of this. Team USA, hate it or love it, won't win a medal this year.
It certainly does seem like that, doesn't it? They seem very disjointed, and I believe it was Evan Fournier who said after the game, they're all better individually, but they can be beaten as a team. And that is the problem. They don't really have... They didn't really build a roster that makes a lot of sense. You have like 2 bigs on the entire roster. Your starting center is Bam Adebayo, who's not really a true center. And then you've got JaVale McGee. Sure, he's a true center, but how good is he, to be honest with you? Who's their forward? Like, who's their four? They're playing Draymond Green as a starter because he's big enough to play the four, but okay. And then you've got a bunch of guards, and then you've got, you know, Jason Tatum didn't start, which was strange, but, you know, he should probably be a starter for the team. The team is built weird. It's just built weird. And your leading scorer in the game today was Jrue Holiday off the bench. Kevin Durant didn't shoot well. Damian Lillard didn't shoot well. Nobody shot well. The team just doesn't look good. I didn't watch the game this morning, but I saw a couple of the highlights on Twitter when I woke up. And there was one possession that they showed where the U.S. had like 6 rebounds and missed all 6 shots. And they were all good looks. And it was late in the game with like 30 seconds to go when they needed to hit a shot. So, you know, look, this is obviously the best team in terms of the players out there, but I don't know if they're good enough as a unit to win a medal this year. So I'll say love. They won't win a medal.
I'll say love as well. I think the thing we've learned over this past 5 games is that the day of guys wanting to shake Magic Johnson's hand on the free throw line, those days are over. Like, these dudes are, and most of these guys that they're playing against, they have, every country has at least one guy that's in the NBA, one guy who's used to matching up with Kevin Durant or used to matching up with a Devin Booker or Phil or Damian Lillard from there. You're looking at a team that really didn't have any time to practice together. They kind of got thrown together, had like 5 days to practice in Vegas. These teams from other countries have been playing together for the most part, with exception of their NBA guys, for a long time, playing on the national team every summer and things like that. So that's just kind of a bit of what they do. And then you look at this roster for Team USA, and there's a bunch of guys that should be there, and there's a bunch of guys who shouldn't. Jerian Grant shouldn't be there. JaVale McGee probably shouldn't be there. Keldon Johnson probably shouldn't be there. Draymond Green is a guy that probably shouldn't be there, especially in a starting role. And so you have a lot of guys, like you have some guys that have proven themselves as NBA talent, but some guys are really still trying to prove themselves, like Jerian Grant and like Keldon Johnson, that they even deserve to be stars in the NBA at this point. So you're looking at kind of a team that's disjointed and just, you know, kind of here so they don't get fined at this point. But you're looking at a nation of people from every country that have just gotten so much better at basketball. Look at the Nigeria game at first. So this is one of those things, man. The USA just doesn't have the stars that they did. This isn't Dream Team 1 or even Dream Team 2 for that matter. So this is, I don't even think they're as good as the 2004 team that got bronze. So, no, I don't think they'll medal this year.
All right, moving on to some NFL. Me and Rashad talked a little bit last week about this, about how there's a good quarterback storyline for like 90-95% of this league. You can go look at all the different teams and make a case that the quarterback situation is somewhat interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, that means that some of these situations have a little bit more pressure applied to them than others. And one of those is the LA Rams, obviously getting Matthew Stafford. So, hate it or love it, McVay and Stafford have the most pressure in the NFL of any head coach and quarterback combo. And I do have some more choices for you, just kind of remind you of what's happening out there. You got Kirk Cousins and Mike Zimmer, Belichick and Newton, McCarthy and Prescott, Murray and Kingsbury, Tannehill and Vrabel, some examples there. But Stafford and McVay, most pressure.
I'm gonna hate it. I think the most pressure is a tandem that you didn't mention. I think it's Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. Every year for the past 3 years, we've said Russell Wilson probably should win the MVP this year. The Seahawks probably should be a favorite, or at least one of the favorites, to win the NFC West every year. For the past few years, that hasn't been the case. It's been San Francisco a couple years ago, and I think last year the best team in the NFC West was the Rams?
I believe the Seahawks did win.
Did they really?
Last year, yeah.
Okay, yeah, but the pressure has been for the Seahawks to get back to the Super Bowl, which they haven't been in about 6 years at this point. So I think if there's any pressure at this point, and then we heard Russell Wilson probably demanding a trade or probably asking for a trade because he's not getting the things that he needs to do. We've seen Pete Carroll is a great motivator and a great clapper on the sideline, but still hasn't been able to make some of those adjustments towards the end of games to really help the Seahawks. And then Russell's been asking for help. It looks like Chris Carson looks amazing as he's been lifting weights and stuff this summer and stuff. Like, so it looks like they're trying to do some stuff, but I think the most pressure of any of those guys has to come from Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll because they are the tandem that's been together the longest as far as any quarterback and coach tandem in that NFC West. So if anybody knows each other best, it's those two, and I think it's time for them to establish themselves as the best offense in that division and win from there. But Pete Carroll can't do that. This might be one of his last few years, especially he's like almost 80.
Most pressure, that's tough. The Rams are highly regarded, but I'm not sure the Rams are as good as everyone's making them out to be, although Matt Stafford there is certainly exciting. I don't think the pressure is in L.A., though, so I'm going to say hate as well, mostly because I think McVay is fairly safe in his job. I'm going to go ahead and say there's a couple other options. I think Seattle is a good choice for sure. How about New Orleans? Now that Drew Brees is retired, Sean Payton has to go with, we're assuming, Jameis Winston, right, as your starting quarterback. How about pressure for Jameis Winston trying to resurrect his career and pressure for a coach who rode on the shoulders of Drew Brees and still, with Drew Brees, was not able to win more than one Super Bowl? So I think there's a ton of pressure in New Orleans for that situation. Obviously, Green Bay has pressure with LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers if Aaron Rodgers decides to come back. But that's very, very, very obvious as to why the pressure would be there for that one. Also, one not mentioned, and I think this is more pressure just because it's the last go, is Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin, Ben Roethlisberger. Is this Roethlisberger's last year? You know, last year he was great while they were undefeated and then completely fell off the face of the earth when they started losing. Can he stay healthy? Can Mike Tomlin bring the Steelers back to the top in probably Roethlisberger's last season? So I think those two teams have a lot more pressure than Sean McVay does. I mean, Matt Stafford is better than Jared Goff. I think McVay's going to be able to do a lot of things with him there. I just don't know in that division, which is going to be really, really tough and a meat grinder again if the Rams are actually going to be good enough to be considered in my head for having that kind of pressure. So I'd say Saints, Packers, Steelers, more pressure.
All right, going to be a very interesting NFL season, and none more interesting than for my own Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott, not wanting to talk HIPAA, but maybe talking playoffs this year. A contender, perhaps, with a healthy Prescott, healthy offensive line, wide receiver core looking good, defense can't be any worse, hopefully. And Mike McCarthy having a little bit of, reality smacking him in the face last year with a poor season. And Zeke Elliott, everybody's hyping him up, it seems like. He's trimmed down. And that division just probably not being very good. And the Cowboys having the second easiest schedule in the league.
Joe has sold himself on this a lot so far.
Hate it or love it. The Cowboys will have double-digit wins this year.
I hate it because it's the NFC East, Joe. Come on. Nobody in that division wins more than 9 games a year. I know there's an extra game. It's not going to change a thing. It's going to be 9-8 instead of 9-7. That's how it's going to go. Also, it's a fairly even division at the top, in my opinion. Yes, I think the Cowboys should likely win the division this year. But Washington's a good team. Don't forget, Washington played really well at the end of the year last year. They played well in the playoffs against the Bucs in that first round game. You've got Chase Young. You had a really good defense. You got some good young talent on offense. The Giants get Saquon Barkley back this year healthy, which is going to be big for them. They have made some changes on offense. They got Kenny Golladay to be the top receiver for Daniel Jones. who, by the way, also is going to have a lot of pressure on him this year. Just be like, hey, are you actually going to be the guy, or do we need to go get somebody else? I don't think they get double-digit wins. I think it's going to be really, really competitive. I even think the Eagles, even though they're kind of a strange team, they hired the unknown head coach and Nick Sirianni, and is Jalen Hurts the starter okay, and how's he going to do? I think we're going to see the same NFC East we've seen for the last 8 years. You're going to see four teams around 500.
I'm hating that they'll make the playoffs?
Double-digit wins
for the Cowboys.
So at least 10-7.
I love it. I think the Cowboys are a 10-win team. I think they've been subpar the past few years, but there's been a lot of issues that go in between there, whether you say it's Jason Garrett or whether you say it was the injury to Dak Prescott or whether you say it was their or whether you say it was the injuries to the offensive line or then getting Mike McCarthy in there. There's been a lot of transition for the Cowboys over the last little bit. But when we've seen them have a great offensive line and a great running back behind that offensive line, man, Dallas Cowboys are as unstoppable as anybody that you can name. And then you look at this dang roster that they have, man. It's pretty impressive, man, when you start looking at their depth chart. And it starts with Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb. Like it's impressive. And then you get into their offensive line, it's like, man, it gets even more impressive. So I think the Dallas Cowboys, especially with having the second easiest schedule in the league, I think their first big game of the season is against the world champion Buccaneers. But after that, man, their season gets, you know, relatively winnable. So if they can just stay healthy through most of the season, I don't see why they can't
play well at all.
I don't know, but I think their offense might be able to outscore people, and I think that's the issue right there. Like, their defense can be subpar. Like, we talked about Tampa's defense all year, the fact that it wasn't great until it got great. And then I think the Dallas Cowboys have I'm not going to say as much talent as the Tampa Bay, but I don't think they're super, super far off. So yes, I do think 10 wins is feasible for Dallas this year.
All right, and moving on to our last one, you guys have a chance to correct yourselves, to rethink what we talked about at the beginning of the show. Hate it or love it, the Tom Brady video is not real.
I hate that it's not real. As I'm reading the comments right now on Facebook and things like, man, like Tom Brady, there are the haters out there that feel like...
Well, a whole SI article was written saying that they think it's fake.
Because, I don't care about what SI
it was
says.
Posted by his videographer, I suppose.
I don't care what SI says. If you think Tom Brady can't throw the ball,
that's a point for Mike.
If you think Tom Brady can't throw the ball 10 yards into anybody's hands or anything like that perfectly, then you're tripping. You obviously haven't been watching football past 20 years or so. If you think that he can't throw that ball 10 yards, now does it seem unlikely? Perhaps, but you're talking about one of the most accurate quarterbacks in history, especially over 10 yards. So, yes, I think it's real. You're a hater, Joe. Whatever.
Bro. I've amended to, I think it's real, but I think, I think you'll appreciate this. I think it's real. I do think he accurately threw the ball into the jugs machine 3 times in a row, but maybe the person pushing it back to him was edited out. Is that acceptable to you?
You both lose a point as for still thinking it's real.
I mean, it's real to me, damn it. What do you mean?
You don't think he could throw it into the machine?
No, I don't think any of that is real.
He's got 7 Super Bowl rings, bro. Why can't it be real?
If any other quarterback in the league posted a video doing that, if it wasn't Tom Brady, would we believe it's real?
Is it Patrick Mahomes? Is it Russell Wilson? Probably. Yeah, I would. Is it Dak Prescott? No.
See, that's the thing. Is your biases... determine who you think could do that.
No, that's not bias. I don't love Russell Wilson like that, but I mean, yeah, I think he could throw 10 yards with Mahomes. Yeah, I think he could do it.
Mike reluctantly wins this round.
Whatever, dude.
Hey, I won. Thank you. I was like, please, can I get the Mario music? Rude. All right, we'll wrap the show up next. This is Sports Sunday on The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
I know we only have like 1 minute left, so I'm not going to dive into anything super heavy or hard here. Good to be back, though.
You think I should work on, you know, I feel like I've been the one that's been gone for a month.
Say you've been here.
Man, good to see you, bud.
Your mic's been off twice over the last three segments.
Yeah, that's... Don't tell them.
There's a button here. Tell everybody. It says on. Oh, everybody heard it.
Put my business in the streets.
They heard you talk with no sound coming through.
I don't think
they heard you echo through my microphone.
Did you hear it, Joe?
Nope. Didn't hear anything.
See?
Okay, Joe.
I did hear him do it earlier, though.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, Joe's just mad at me because refuse to believe the video is fake.
It's not fake. It's a real video.
Yeah, you can join the argument. I tweeted it at Mike Lynch 27. You can also just find that Tom Brady tweeted it. It's a video of him throwing a football into a jugs machine, and the jugs machine is returning the ball back to him. Now, I will say I am willing to agree that maybe that the person behind the jugs machine is edited out, but I think he's throwing it in there.
I think he is. Yeah, I'm not going to take that. I need
why
just that a person was edited out.
I mean, that's possible, is it not?
Glass half full, huh, Joe?
No, I want the full.
You want the full
here.
Banana.
Yeah, exactly.
If that had been Dak Prescott, he's like, look how ready for the season he is. Let's
look at
go.
How accurate. Surgery, no surgery, perfect.
No,
and he can catch, have him play wide receiver.
Seriously, the first thing I thought of were those fantasy file commercials from like 15 years ago when they made all the fake videos of players doing things that nobody could ever do. And that's one of them. And look. It worked. Tom Brady's got us all talking and up in arms about it.
Did you see Tom Brady's jokes at the White House?
Yes.
I think this is something I'm going to say. This is going to open up a can of worms that I shouldn't say now, but maybe we can talk about it next week. Well, you're going to be out next week. But I want to talk about this with you, Rashad. I think Tom Brady, now that he is a Buck, is actually likable.
Absolutely. 100%.
He's funny. He can be himself. 100%. He's got a personality.
Yes, absolutely. Now that he's not playing for the machine, which is the Patriots, and Bill Belichick, he can show his personality. You know, when you talk, Belichick is your coach, you talk like him, you act like him. On the Brooklyn. We're on the tablet. Tom can show his personality now. Now we love him.
Now he's got a personality. Now he's getting drunk and throwing the trophy and making jokes about.
Truthfully, he's always been drunk. He's always been drunk at the parades and at the ring ceremony. Yes.
All right. That's going to do it for us today. If you missed any of the show and you want to hear it, Les Schwab Tires Podcast is where you can find it. We'll be back next week, 9 to 11, although I believe Rashad is out, so it'll be Joe and I next week. No?
Maybe not.
Maybe not?
No. Maybe we'll be off next week. Or you can do the show solo.
Yeah, it's highly possible I'm not here either.
Oh, all right. Well, send an email to the boss and we'll get it figured out, all right?
We'll do it.
All right. We'll be back maybe. Who knows now? Bye.
Later.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.